Many people will make New Year's resolutions, maybe to exercise more, to eat better, lose a little weight, you know, one of those things, maybe read through the Bible for in a year, all those things, and they're good. But how about having a New Year's revival to where you have a personal spiritual revival in your heart with the Lord Jesus? If there's anything that God is crying out for His church to do today, is that's to come out of the world, come aside. He called us, He chose us, He elected us to be to be apart from the world, not to be of the world, but in the world, and for us not to go and just live like the rest of the world. He wants us to be to pursue holiness. He wants to have this revival in our lives that's a constant, ongoing thing. As this new year approaches and I look around the world and listen, the Lord is closer to coming back today than ever before. Ever before. The signs are all around us. It's around the world. It's happening. Church, it's time to wake up. It's not time to sit back and sit on our haunches and I'm just letting past go. I'm just waiting for the cemetery. No. We need to be about God's business. We need to pursue the Lord, seek His face, live a holy life. God called us to holiness. Jesus saved us. We're made holy in Christ. We are to live that out. Here's what happens in our life. Every day we encounter things. We see things, we hear things. And some of those things are little seeds of sin. And those little seeds are planted in our minds. They're planted in our heart. And there's desires inside of us. And listen, if that seed of sin lands on fertile soil in our heart, it'll begin to grow. And that sin will begin to take root in our life. Now, at first, we didn't think anything of it. We saw something, a video, a movie. We saw a person. We saw an individual. We had a conversation with someone. And there's root growing in our life. A sin root. And it started with a little seed. 6 months later, it's taken over our thought life. All we can do is think about that. It's like, and God is calling us. Say, listen, those seeds that you see every day, those seeds that are being pushed in your mind, pushed in your emotion, pushed. Listen, it's time to keep sweeping those out. It's time for a cleansing, church, of our hearts, of our minds, of the things that the devil wants to plant in there. So, church, today I ask you as an individual, are you pursuing holiness? Or are you just getting by? Are you really pursuing holiness? Yes, we're saved by grace. But grace is not our crutch. Grace is the thing that gives us the ability to live this life in holiness, knowing that we have a loving, almighty, all-powerful God who supplants His grace inside of us, that saves us, that calls us to holiness, and empowers us with His Spirit to live that life. How are you doing in holiness? You see, R.C. Ryle said it this way. He said, holiness is the habit of being one in mind with God according as we find His mind described in Scripture. It is the habit of agreeing in God's judgment, hating what He hates, loving what He loves, and measuring everything in this world by the standard of His Word. Holiness is this persistent pursuit to live cleansed from sin before God under His grace in Christ. We remember this passage in 1 Chronicles 7:14. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Oh, see, God's word sets it out very plain for us that we are to seek God's face. We are to seek this cleansing, and this cleansing is holiness, living the holy life that God called us to. Every Bible is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through chapter 2, verse 3. See, only a cleansed heart has mighty power with the Lord a return to holiness, will ignite this dynamic power in every struggling Christian. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, on down to chapter 2 and verse 3. Peter writes, he says, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.' Since you call on Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your own time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, Lamb without blemish. But was revealed in these last times for your sake. God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, that you should have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. If you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." Let's pray together. Father God, Lord, we thank you for your word. God, this message is hard to hear because, Father, we so often get caught in a rut. And God, we need today to confess. Lord, we need today to repent because, God, we need revival in our hearts. You're calling us to a life of holiness. You're calling us to that because you empowered us with your Spirit to live that way. Oh, Lord, let us not make excuses. Oh, Lord, let us not falter and blame or anything. God, let us just be honest with you today. In your name we pray. Amen. Peter addresses this letter to believers who are chosen by the grace of God. They are God's people. And he encourages them, even commands them to live holy. Listen, we are holy but Christ because Christ made us holy. We're saved, we're born again. But it is our task through the power of the Holy Spirit to pursue holiness every day, to live the godly lifestyle. See, several insights today, how to return to holiness in this new year. The first insight is this: prepare. See, a preparation for a move of the Holy Spirit. Are you prepared for the Holy Spirit to move? Or when you moved, are you shocked? Do you pray and you pray and pray, and when God answers it, do you go, "Oh, I didn't know he was going to do that"? We don't pray with expectation. Listen, we need to be prepared for a move of the Holy Spirit in our personal life. The return to holiness requires each Christian to prepare his heart through repentance for cleansing from sin. We see in verse 13, it says, "Prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed." Church, we are the body of Christ. The Bible all says that we are the bride of Christ. There's one day we're reuniting with Christ Jesus again. We will meet him face to face in all of his holiness, all of his purity, all of his glory. The church, each individual, must be prepared. Are you prepared to meet Christ? Should he come in 2018? Maybe we'll never see a cold day this week, right? The Lord may come before we get out of here today. Are you prepared for that? We often think, well, Jesus isn't here yet. You know, we just celebrated his birthday. He's not here. Listen, Jesus can come at any time. There's nothing holding him back but the grace of God. The grace of God on us and the grace of God on the world. God is being patient with the world so that we as Christians can share the gospel with them so that many will be saved. Sadly, the church of today is oftentimes characterized by apathy and half-hearted commitment, loss of motivation to reach the hurting, the wounded, and the lost. False doctrine and heresy and immorality has crept into the church. Holiness in the church seems like a foreign term. You don't hear many messages on holiness anymore. Why? Because it sounds like a foreign thing, like we can't obtain that. No, we can't. Jesus has already given it to us. We just have to live it out in his power. Many small, nearly undetectable forms of sin, as well as some that make headlines, have tainted the holiness and effectiveness of the church. Christ will return whenever God gives him approval, and many in the church are living not in preparation for his arrival. We're not living like we're expecting him to show up. Many Christians have merely validated their sins and apathetic attitude toward godliness without regard to the command to be holy. How many Christians today excuse away a sin in our life? There's been a seed planted and it's taken root, and all we do is make excuses for it being there now. Rather than giving a cleansing, the Holy Spirit to wash it out, uproot it by every small root, take it out of our life, we just excuse it. We excuse our bad attitude. We excuse our lustful thoughts. We excuse our greed. We excuse our envy. We excuse our jealousy. We excuse our gossip. We excuse away. And God says, get it out. Be holy, for I'm holy. Just excuse away anger issues and unforgiveness and bitterness and all of those things, our apathy, control issues. We can excuse away our laziness, even our failure to worship. Well, you know, I just don't feel like going to church today. I just don't feel like going. Listen, if Jesus didn't feel like doing something, he didn't feel like going to the cross for you either. He didn't sure, you know, if he looked at us and said, man, that cross looks pretty rough. I don't think I want to go there for those people who are going to be lazy and not come worship. God does not accept our excuses. He expects genuine repentance and change. Repentance is the preparation of holiness. Verse 13 says, be self-controlled and set your hope fully on the grace to be given you. Repentance moved by the Holy Spirit, backed by self-control, trusting in God's grace, manifests into holy living. Repentance is the key to which we can unlock the prison from the inside, is what Boyd Packer said. We hold that key within our hands, and agency is ours to use it. Repentance is the key to holy living. It unlocks that door for us to live the life that God has called us to live. The second insight is this. Not only should we be prepared, we should be Spirit-empowered. That Spirit-empowered determination in 2018, can we make it different than another year? That we are living in the Spirit-empowered life that God wants us to, with a determination that we're going to live each day for Christ. That we're not just going to get through it, just not going to go to work and do the routine, but we are truly going to pursue God that day, each day. Set a course in your heart under the power of the Holy Spirit to guard your mind against selfish desires which lead to sin. See, self-determination does very little under human power. Listen, there'll be commitments that I make and you make for the new year. Yeah, we're going to eat right. We're going to live healthy, at least till Buddha comes around and Mardi Gras and King Cake comes around. And see, we don't have much self-will, not much self-determination. But Spirit-empowered determination changes your source of power. In the spirit, be determined to stay the course for the cause of Christ. The Christian life can be a difficult journey. We're in a constant struggle with our old sinful nature. The Christian life is laden with struggles and with victories. Oh, but the power and the power of the Spirit, the pursuit of holiness, transfers the burdens of life and puts them out on Christ when we trust Him. Living that Spirit-empowered life, Christians, that's where we need to be. Not just calling out to God when things are going rough, but every day, Lord, I need your power to live this life you'll call me to because I can't do it. There's a reason that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us, Christians, to us, to live the life he has called us to, a life of holiness. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Living a whole life of holiness is not a burden. That's a joy. That we can pursue God and to know that when little things come in our life, those little seeds of sin are planted, and that we recognize them right away, and we go to God and say, "Lord, forgive me, get this out of my life. I don't want this, God. I want to be pure before you." Must be determined to allow God to rule in our lives in order that we do not allow selfishness to overrule holiness. Selfish desires can consume our attention and our affections, and it oppresses us under this heavy weight. Pursuit of sin is like trying to walk through knee-deep mud. After a while, you get tired of it. After a while, you get very sluggish, and you want to give up very quickly. But living a Spirit-empowered life, this pursuit of holiness, is similar to walking on solid ground where your steps are sure and you're invigorated with joy and peace and fulfillment. All of those things that God has promised unto us. Are you walking in joy today? Are you walking in the power of the Spirit with the new determination that I'm going to live this life according to what God wants? Aren't you tired of being heavy laden with sin that you allow to grow up in your life because you didn't think anything of it when it happened? Maybe you've experienced some tragic thing in life and you got angry about it and you're still holding on to it. Maybe someone offended you in some way and you're still holding on to unforgiveness. Oh, set yourself free from the inside with repentance. Do not conform, verse 14 says, to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. This new year, may we start this new beginning with Christ. Do you have any known sin in your life? Do you find that you've been more determined by your own willpower and you've fallen over and over again? Or are you more like society rather than the Savior? What's going on in your heart? That's where God wants to do business. Will you today trust God to empower you to live holy? A.W. Tozer said it this way. He says, "A true disciple does not consider Christianity a part-time commitment." Let me repeat that. A true disciple does not consider Christianity a part-time commitment. He has become a Christian in all parts of his life. He has reached a point where there's no turning back. I love that. Have you reached that point in your life where there's no turning back? It's you and Jesus for the rest of your life. It's you and Jesus for all eternity. Let's live according to the way God has called us to live, a life of holiness. The third insight is this, is dedication to Jesus. Dedication to Jesus. Christians are to be dedicated to a life of holiness because we're dedicated to Christ, because he is holy. People look at Christians and they want to see Christ. They want to see what Christ's disciples actually look like. What are they seeing in your life? And I often question myself, what are they seeing in mine? Beyond the title pastor, who is Kevin West? Who do they see me to be? And in your life, beyond any title, any recognition, Who are you at the very core that people see and recognize? Do they see Christ living in you? Can they spot you out as a disciple of Jesus? The ultimate reason we should live in holiness is because our Savior is holy. We see in verse 15 and 16, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So this call to holiness is not some fantasy land that we just dream of. It is something that we're commanded to pursue all the time, this life of holiness with God. Why? Because Jesus is holy. Many Christians just shrug their shoulders in defeat at the thought of living in godliness. There's this feeling that there's such a lofty lifestyle that it's unobtainable. Why? Because we believe the lies that Satan tells us every day. Satan is out to get you and me. He schemes, he plots, he plans against us. So every day he's plotting things against you in particular. He knows how you get when you get up. He knows what your routine is. He knows everything about you going on. And he plots against you. But you see, he begins to lie to us every day. He whispers that we can never live the life that God has wanted us to live. We can never live that Christian life. He calls us unworthy. He calls us out on things that cross our mind. Those seeds that come by, he thinks that those are there because that's what we want. Rather than claiming them from him. You see, he constantly tells us that we're pathetic examples of what a Christian follower should be, a Christ follower should be. He says that we're unworthy of Jesus. And he says that we'll never amount to anything in the kingdom of God. Satan stirs this fear in us that if we confess our failures to God and to one another, that God and his church will abandon us. That sounds like something Satan would tell us. Lie straight to us. Lie to us with a straight face. Then Satan whispers, why repent? You know you only do it again. You know you're not really sorry for what you're doing. Lie after lie after lie. And the sad thing, Christian, is that we buy into it. We buy into the lies that Satan tells us that we'll never be good enough, that we can never live this life of holiness God has called us to. And so we just give up. So we just sit back on a crutch. And we think that we can never be who the people that God has saved us to be. So Satan neutralizes us. So we really don't want to read our Bible anymore. We really don't want to pray anymore. We're definitely not going to share our faith with anybody because, you know, they know we're not perfect. No, God didn't call us to be perfect. He called us to be progressively more like his son. That's what he called us to be. Christian, are you living the life that God wants you to live? Listen, you are not weak in Jesus. You've been purified by his blood and empowered by his spirit to be an overcomer in life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You can live in holiness because Jesus, who is holy, saved you and declared you to be holy before God. Jesus has set us free through his grace. The blood of Jesus washed away our sin. When God looks at you, God looks at me, he sees his son Jesus. He sees the holiness that Christ brought. And by faith, we claim what Jesus did as our own. That's why we are holy people. We are holy already. We don't have to obtain holiness. We already have it through Christ. We just have to live it. Just live the victory he's already given us. Now pursue that life of living out your existence, imitating Christ. pursue holiness because God is holy. Be dedicated to live this purified life which God has given through us. That's where revival starts. It starts in repentance. It starts in this mindset of pursuing God. Listen, revival is not just as emotional up and down. Too often in revival services we've had, we've got in a dynamite speaker and good music, and boy, we've had six or seven services in the old days. And after that, everybody's pumped up for two or three weeks. No, revival is when you and the Holy Spirit do business. And there's a cleansing every day. God, when I wake up today, I want to pursue you. God, I might mess up, but Father, I want you to empower me. Help me identify sins that I see. Help me identify situations that I need to remove myself from, so I can live pleasing to you. Jerry Bridges said it this way: as we grow in the knowledge of God's holiness, even though we're growing in the practice of holiness, it seems to the gap between our knowledge and our practice always gets wider and wider. This is the Holy Spirit's way of drawing us to more and more holiness. When we know more and we live that life, that godly lifestyle that he wants, and boy, we're growing in the knowledge of God's word, understanding more about God, the more we see that we don't know. And the hunger builds inside of us to grow that direction to more of God. The fourth insight is this: the expectation of reward. Listen, living the godly lifestyle has reward. All people, both believers and non-believers, must keep in mind that they will face Jesus as judge one day. See, for non-believers, the judgment of Christ is one to hear their judgment upon their sin. Their sin has already condemned them to hell. Jesus just brings that judgment about. But for believers, the judgment of God is this: that it's a time of reward. We see in verse 17, since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. That reverent fear means awe and respect. That we are to live our lives and we are going about our daily routines. We're going about living life as we know it, to honor God, to honor Christ, to look for opportunities to serve him and to invest in people's lives. Why? Because there is reward waiting. There's reward. Your works and my works will be judged to determine whether they were done with pure motives as an honor to Christ, or did we serve or volunteer with selfish intentions for recognition, for some form of favor, or even to put ourselves in proximity to a person or a situation that we would gain more from. A lot of times people serve for the wrong reasons. There are people who've dedicated their whole life to volunteering for a certain cause. And when they stand before God, if their motives were not pure, then all of that volunteerism they've done is for nothing eternally. Now, yeah, it served good while they were here, but there was never an eternal reward for it because their motives were not honoring to God. We, Christians, our works will be tested by fire. And for many people, years and years of service will be burned up before them because it was not pure and ever done to honor Jesus Christ. It was in their own selfish motivations. There'll be many people's prized benevolent causes or volunteer work consumed by fire. And their loss will be great because they failed the holiness test. See, when we pursue holiness, we filter our motives for purity before we volunteer. When we return to a life of godliness, our good deeds in this life will be treasures for us in heaven. Are you doing for others to demonstrate your Christ-like love for them, to pursue Jesus in your own life? Are you doing for others so that God will be glorified? Are you doing for others so that you will get a pat on the back? The fifth thing, and we're closing, this pursuit of holiness. Our motivation to be holy is simply our love for Jesus Christ. You will die for something that you love. You will die for someone you love. How many parents and grandparents today would die for their children or their grandchildren? They'll put their life on the line, nothing to it. What about for Jesus? Can we live a dedicated life to Christ because we love Him? See, when we love Him, giving up the things that we used to enjoy is no great sacrifice because we love Jesus. See, chapter 2, verse 2 of 1 Peter says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your own salvation. To crave means to possess an unrestrained hunger for more of God. Let 2018 be a time that you crave more of God, that you want more of Him. Listen, not just to eat up your time, but that you truly seek God's face. To live that life that He's called you to live. The peace and the power of the Holy Spirit overwhelms us as we seek Him. So we continue to refill, be refilled and replenished in His presence. The motivation to continuously pursue God is that we are to love Jesus and to live out and grow up in our salvation. Tertullian said this. He says, you can judge the quality of their faith from the way that they behave. See, discipline is an index to doctrine. Oh, doesn't that hit hard to know that the way that we act, the way that we behave, the way that we live truly tells other people what we believe, what our doctrines really are. The new year can lead us to grow in holiness if we truly want to be people of repentance, if we truly want to be people who live out what God has called us to.